Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, October the 10th, 2025, 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan, kicking off your chilly frost advisory Friday morning, Getaway Friday morning. I believe 35 degrees out there right now. So if you haven't been paying attention since probably April, you haven't seen a morning this cool, although the meteorologist would be able to tell you different. But it's been a while since we've had a morning this cool, but it is October the 10th, so what do you expect? Do want to remind everybody that Kroger on Route 95 here in Marion is having their kids' night out on October 27th, that is Monday, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some fun games and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. That's Kroger Kids Night Out, Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Ghost and Goblins galore, so don't miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun on the 27th, which is not too far away, 17 days away from today. All right, Matt, you're here on time. It's Friday. You got a big... We should mention that Matt will not be here tonight, 8 to 10. He's going to a concert, going to see Slimer. It's a big band, I understand.
Seether. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they're big, per se. I mean, I don't know what big is.
Like a they'll be in a big concert venue, right?
I honestly don't even know where we're going. I know.
Is it like
a
club or
I don't know.
Stadium?
I didn't ask anything. I was asked by my aunt if I wanted to go to the Seether concert, and I was like, yeah. I'm a big fan of Seether.
Now, what does Seether mean, and what do they sing?
It's a rock band.
But yeah. What is Seether? Is that like somebody's last name or an acronym or what?
Well,
is that?
I mean, I'm sure I could find some meaning. I don't know. I mean,
see, that's why I think it's Slimer, because I've seen Ghostbusters, and I know that Slimer was a big thing.
Okay, well, let's see here. It was originally called Sarin Gas, but they changed their name in 2002 because it was too similar to Sarin Gas. But because the only difference was
Sarin Gas,
like Sarin Gas.
Okay.
But it was too similar to Sarin Gas, so they changed it to Seether.
There's two bands named Sarin Gas,
and they. Well, not anymore.
But there were.
There were.
Okay. So what is Seether?
They were advised to change the name due to the sensitivity surrounding the deadly nerve agent. Well, I guess that's that. And chose Seether in honor of Veruca Salt song of the same name. In honor of the Veruca Salt song of the same name.
But they don't sing a song... Seether. Veruca Salt sang Seether.
Yeah, and they named the band after the song.
Why wouldn't you name your band after a song that you did?
Well,
it's just complicated. Well, what's their big song? What's their big hit?
Their biggest song? I don't know. Let's see here. Their biggest song is Fake It, according to Spotify, at least.
Fake It. What's that about? What are we faking?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know the lyrics. I don't know the...
I fake it every day here, so I can understand that. That might be the new theme song.
I think it's talking about probably faking happiness. I don't know, something like that. Because, look, I mean, you can read the lyrics if you want. I mean, it
fake it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it went away. Where'd it go?
Oh.
Lost it.
Oh, well,
Fake It from Seether.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Fake it. Okay. Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world? They're not very much on, like, alliteration or rhyming, are they?
I mean, you gotta...
You lost your self-esteem along the way, yeah. Well, this sounds... They might need some psychiatrist good God, you're coming up with reasons. Good God, you're dragging it out. And good God, it's the challenging of the seasons.
I think it's changing, isn't it?
No, it says, oh, it is changing. Yes, changing. Changing of the seasons. Man. I feel so down. Okay, here's the chorus. Fake it if you're out of direction. Fake it if you don't belong here. Fake it if you don't feel like infection. Whoa. You're such a hypocrite. Well, there's a word in there I can't say.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I had to okay, think. Well, so if you're faking it, you're a hypocrite is what they're saying.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, have fun.
Oh, I mean, I like
sure
it.
I'm
sure it'll be good.
You don't know where the concert is, though.
I'm not a clue.
But we will have a Friday night show tonight. We'll have a special guest, so that'll be fun. But you do have a 10 o'clock show that you taped earlier in the week.
I have figured it out.
All
oh,
right.
This is going to be a... There are three bands there. So it's a Seether, Daughtry, Pod, and Cammy Cahoe.
Oh, Daughtry. No, I know Daughtry. Wasn't he an American Idol guy?
Daughtry?
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Isn't that Chris Daughtry, the American Idol guy? Yeah. Yeah, I think he was an American Idol person.
Oh, well, I didn't know all that.
Oh,
well,
yeah. I bet he's the headliner. Yeah. I bet he's the headline.
I don't think so. I mean, I
No, I've heard that he's the headline.
Well, I think you're probably wrong.
Where's this at?
The Rose Music Center at the Rose Music Center at the... it just says the Rose Music Center at the Heights.
Where's that at?
At Huber Heights, Ohio.
Oh, so you're not far away from here at all.
No, I don't
like
know.
2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's like Cleveland area. So, there you go. No, Daughtry would be the big one. He was big.
I don't think Daughtry... Like, we went to a Creed concert, and Daughtry... I mean, I guess, you know, Creed's Creed, but Daughtry was the opener for Creed.
Isn't he a little country?
Daughtry?
Yeah.
I know. I think he's more like... I'm not good with the genres. I mean, he's more like, I don't know, classical rock or something like that. He's not like... He made... Daughtry's big songs came out in like the... Or like, I don't know. Mid to late 2000s, probably. Maybe 2010s.
Well, I think it was after his American Idol run. I think he won, didn't he? I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard.
You guys are the same as mine. I mean, you obviously know more about the American Idol thing than I do.
Well, no, I didn't watch American Idol, but in that day, like, the first few winners, you knew them. Like, Daughtry, I remember him winning. I what's her name? Kelly Clarkson was the first winner. And, you know, Ruben Studdard, I remembered him. I don't know what happened to him, but he was out there doing something. So, yeah, I mean, these things are somewhat of interest. Go ahead, caller.
Your geography is off. Huber Heights is down around Dayton.
Oh, that's Dayton area.
Yeah.
Well, what's the heights up around Cleveland? There's some kind of there's an area.
Cleveland, I think there's Cleveland Heights. Oh man. I don't know. Let's give Drew Carey a call and find out.
Well, I know there's something Heights up by Cleveland because I've been through there. So, Huber Heights is in Dayton, but regardless, that's not too far away either. That's not bad.
I heard, is there any truth to the rumor that Taylor Swift is going to be at the Palace along with Quarter Mile Cyrus?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Palace is a venue that would hold Taylor Swift. Although, tonight at the Palace is the big Carly Augustine show. Now, I do have something to report on this. You know, Carly Augustine... was a local girl who grew up here, did some productions, and she's done some things in musicals across the country, touring, and she's coming back to do a one-person show tonight, and I thought that this thing would be sold out, because I have never, in all the years of the Palace, listen, I have never seen publicity like this. I have seen billboards for this show, literal billboards in town. I have seen a front page article on the Marianne Star that took up the whole first front page with her picture on it that ran this week. I have seen more pop-ups on social media about this show than I've ever seen for a Palace show in my life. And I learned yesterday that tickets aren't moving very well.
Well, it just goes to show. There's only a handful of people who are starstruck by this one individual. And that's it. She may be extremely talented.
Oh, she is. She is.
You've seen her in person.
I have heard her because I had her on the guest. I had her on the show as a guest a few years ago when she was doing something. I think she was in the touring company of Wicked or something like that. And I had her on. And
the thing is, if she was so well known and talented, she wouldn't have the time to come here. Or her, if she has an agent, certainly wouldn't have booked her here unless. Nothing going on. Let's see if we can book you.
Well,
now,
my guess.
Not known of a quantity.
Well, my guess.
Not to say that she's not extremely talented, but you got to realize how many extremely talented people there are out there that haven't been discovered yet.
You know? No, but my guess would be is because I don't think she's doing a one-person show around the country. So my guess, and I can't pinpoint the whole thing, but my guess is she was probably making a trip home, and somebody knew of that and thought it would be a good idea to do this. This is a hometown girl. Let's do it. And they would have to pay her agents and publicity people because she does have them, because she does tour as part of Broadway musicals, and they thought in her hometown
probably,
that would draw a crowd.
Which probably means she's union, so, hey, you got to pay the, you know.
Right, but this
talent scale.
This type of thing just doesn't work, unfortunately, and it's, I'm sorry that the tickets aren't moving well, and if they weren't moving well yesterday, I'm sure we're not going to have a flood today. And I think the ticket price was also too high for this type of show.
What are the prices of the tickets?
Yeah. Well, I think that they were like normal palace tickets, like, you know, $20, $30, $40.
Yeah. How long have they been promoting it?
Quite a while. Like I said, it became apparent at one point that this was being pushed harder than any palace show I have seen in quite some time. I saw it everywhere. If you drive down 95, there's a billboard with it. It was on the front page of the paper on Monday. Social media, you know they have done sponsored shots because I've seen it pop up two or three times every day. It's being pushed very hard, and I thought it was maybe because she was a local person. Now I tend to believe, after yesterday's inside information, that it's because tickets are not moving very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Well, it's not the size of the audience, you know. She'll get paid, and the people there will get a good show, and that's the way it goes.
Well, it'll become more of an intimate show, you know. Say you had maybe a couple hundred people there versus, I think it seats 1,300. It can become more intimate that way. And, you know, those who go will hopefully appreciate it more than being part of a crowd of 1,300.
Well, but this is part of the celebrity culture we live in, or what we try to have a celebrity culture. Is she talented? Yes. Has she done things professionally? Yes. Does she have an agent and a manager? Yes. But do people have any idea that she was from here or who she is or what she's doing? Is the typical family going to go out and see her? No.
They're not. Are they promoting it as she's a hometown
talent? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like you pose this question. Anybody have any idea what a grip does in feature films? Nobody has any idea. Key grip, a grip, you know, they don't know. They don't care. So.
No, but if she is a performer, and there would have been a day where if somebody was in this business and doing well, you would have known them. But because of the proliferation of the internet and because of the proliferation of so many channels, everything is so fragmented. So even if you do have a good size audience, it's certainly not the audience you were getting 30 years ago. So it's everything is diminished in a way.
Well, if you want to see something that is a real eye-opener, there are several documentaries. One's called Muscle Shoals. And at Muscle Shoals was a recording studio. Major people, particularly the Rolling Stones, recorded down there. And another documentary, I think it's 6 Feet from Stardom, it has a number of backup singers that, unless you're really in to a particular group, these people who were backup vocals for major stars, unbelievable, 6 Feet from Stardom. I think it won an Academy Award for documentaries. It's just an eye-opener because these people really boosted the performer as backup singers in that. And another one, the studio bands that played from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, almost into the 80s. It's called The Wrecking Crew. And it would be a great eye-opener. The numbers of people like Frank Sinatra, the Beach Boys, on and on and on. It's just phenomenal. These talented people, sessions musicians from guitar players, piano, drums, just about any instrument, and they would maybe have 5 bookings a day, 2 hours at this studio, go over to this end of the town, do another 3-4 hours or whatever, working up to the wee hours of the morning, and then they turn around and they do it again for various artists and stuff. And it's really fascinating to see this, because these are the people that made these stars really shine. That sounds hokey and corny, but no, they're really very good documentaries for people to take a look at. So, entertainment.
I don't know. I just think
the entertainment industry is very fickle.
Well, I don't know. I just I think, as I've always said, and there's another fairly young person from Marion, Billy Peck, who I've had on the show. Now, Billy has had some roles in television series and things of that nature, movies, that were good roles, and he gets paid for them, and he is a member of the union, and so on and so forth. But does anybody know the name Billy Peck in Marion? No. If you went to school with him, you might know who he is. If you follow him on social media, you might know who he is. He's not going to draw a big crowd if he comes here and does a play, because most people don't know who he is. Everything's so fragmented. The audiences on these television shows and movies are not what they were 30 years ago, because people are watching other things. And I think this is just, before we move on past this subject, I think what this is, the Palace is making, now if they're making a lot of money, good for them. But I just think there have been some questionable decisions being made there as of late. And I don't know who okayed a show like this for the main palace. Now, this seems like a show that might have done well in the May Pavilion. You might have had people who knew her from school and her family, and you probably did sell some outside tickets. So maybe you might have 300 people there, and that looks good in the May Pavilion. That doesn't look good in the 1,400-seat palace. And I think that's a big mistake to even think that that would work. So whoever made that decision, I don't know if the board, I'm sure the board has to okay these people, but whoever brings the idea, I think they think because they like it, everybody will like it, and you just can't do that. There's a lot of things that I like that I don't think are just going to be interesting topics on this show. So you don't do them on the show. You find out information on your own. I don't think the Palace is operating like that right now.
Well, I think you made a great decision, even though you are really into tombstone manufacturers and want to bring that. I think that was a good choice not to have that as a topic on your show.
Oh, I think that'll be on next week, though. I think people are interested in that. Everybody needs a tombstone. So what's on your mind this morning?
Well, one quick one, you know, about the Palace Theater being a venue for this individual. You know who Tyrus, the wrestler, is?
No, I don't.
He's a commentator. They have him on Fox. He's a comedian and stuff, and he travels all over the place. I was surprised to see he was scheduled, I think it was October the 8th, over in Loudonville, of all places. He goes all over the place, part of a circuit maybe or whatever for talking, just like Bill Maher, who's the other guy. But at any rate, here out of little Loudonville, Ohio, they have this, he's a fairly well-known guy that's on Fox, Gutfeld, and other talk shows and stuff, having commentary, so on and so forth.
Well,
so anyways, what's on my mind? Did you get a chance to see the link to the video I sent you?
I saw the link. I didn't have a chance to pull it up this morning, but it's the Strongest Talent video.
It's probably premature. I think you need to take a look at it before, you know, much can be said. But
well, what did you think of it?
When I saw it, and I purposefully avoided going to see it. I believe they showed it at Marion Tech. The Strongest Town documentary about Marion?
Yes.
An embarrassment.
An embarrassment?
An embarrassment.
Now, how long is it?
I have heard 20 minutes.
Oh, really? That's a short documentary.
It's the subject matter. I can't remember if it was the Lions or Kiwanis. They showed this, and some of the people, they weren't too happy with it. It didn't say really anything positive. Obstacles that were overcome. It didn't elevate Marion. And it mainly interviewed those people who probably voted multiple times just to tally up the numbers so that Marion won this, in my opinion, a bogus competition.
So who's interviewed in this documentary?
Oh, you got who's in charge of the regional planning, something hyphenated name.
Oh, Evie?
Who?
Is it Evie?
Evie, I don't know.
I can't think. Evie War Omnis?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
She's interviewed. James Walker, the guy who essentially instigated or started whatever, oh, we need to do the Strongest Towns, this will be great, et cetera, et cetera. He's brought himself, he's very emotional. Looked like he was crying.
Well, he does have a, well, he cried in the studio. He's a very emotional fellow.
Yes, he's very, very emotional.
But it's authentic. It's an authentic emotion.
Propagated by a lack of perspective or whatever. And then there's also the Downtown Marion Inc. guy is there. But they kept showing images of Marion in decay and didn't show before and after images. And it was like that they hung on to the guy who started the Marion's economy as heroin. Remember all those yard signs?
Yeah, I remember him.
He's in there.
Oh, he made the video.
He's in there.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
And it's I don't think that it really shows. To me, it shows an agenda by the people who created Strongest Towns.
Now, wait a second.
If you go to YouTube, you'll see that there's so many thousands of subscribers. But that doesn't reflect Marion.
Subscribing to the Strongest Towns thing?
To that entity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Subscribing to that entity.
Well, they're all about subscriptions.
A town here in this state, that state, or whatever, those are the people. So you've got them looking at it and stuff. And you got a bunch of people in there putting platitudes up, like it's great, it's wonderful, blah, blah. And then there are some that said, gee whiz, why didn't you do something, you know, more information instead of just kind of gleaning over it? It, to me, looking at this, and my experience in documentaries and that, I don't think it was very well written. It looks like it was something of a rush kind of thing, because it didn't really, I think, illustrate why Marion is a strong town. To me, it showed contrary. Why is it a strongest town? You're not showing anything that, okay, we had this problem, here's how we overcame it, and here's the road to success that we're going to now. So
what was the thing about? I mean, they showed the Marion in a bad place, and
well,
then they said what?
It was like a Mutual Admiration Society video, you know? People who started it and talking about wonderful, great things, but yet, in the documentary, you'll just have to see it for yourself. I just found it dubious at best, and to really speak more in depth or analytically about it, I would have to watch it at least two or three more times. But the first impression of it, like some people, was, you got to be kidding. So,
well, that was first prize. I think that's what you won, if you won the contest, so that's the prize.
Well, I mean, you know, first prize, if it was a gold-plated turd, would you really want it?
Well, I don't know what the purpose was. I mean, are you supposed to send this to other communities and say...
I just think, my opinion is that the whole Strongest Towns deal is data mining, getting as much information as you can about individuals, and then they sell that information to somebody, some of these marketing Frankenstein monster, or Dr. Frankensteins, if you will.
Well, that's probably true, but I just thought the documentary, I mean, there were a lot of good people to interview here who are doing good things, and the people you're mentioning.
I think it was a hit-and-run documentary. I don't think they spent too much time doing it. It doesn't show it to me.
Well, no, but did they ask anybody else?
Right now, I'm working to finish a documentary that was shot a year ago with 8 cameras, and I screwed up because I didn't slate each camera for each day, so it's difficult to put the pieces together from 8 different cameras over a period of 5 days, but I'm getting to it, and you know, it's taken a year. This documentary just, to me, it was a rush job, wasn't very well designed, and didn't really show that, okay, we have problems, here's how we overcame those problems, and here's how it looks like a brighter future if we maintain this path, you know?
Well, I guess I just don't know any of the people that you mentioned, how they would have any perspective on that, because I think a lot of those people left for a period of time or were not on the inner circle when things were being done. I don't think those people that you mentioned are long-term people. I don't know that they would have any insight into that.
Well, that's why if they would have gotten a better broad spectrum of interviews with people, maybe people who were down and out, maybe people who benefited, and they could say, oh, yeah, when they did this, the whatever rehabilitation there may be, oh, yes, we had, you know, it could have been a better in-depth thing. Like I say, it was, to me, it just seemed like it was too rushed, and it was just basically self-serving to say, okay, our organization has named you one of the strongest towns, and here's a video, and hey, they're going to be happy there in the documentary. Oh, my God, you know, that kind of wow factor to people that need that kind of shoring up, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's more than they had before.
I would just hesitate saying any more because I haven't really analyzed it enough. That's my first impression. And I would strongly urge you or anybody else. Maybe I sent you a link also through email posted up on your website and see what people think.
All right,
know?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure some people have seen it.
Yep. All right. Hey, till better day.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, we should mention phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. No, I haven't seen the Strongest Towns documentary. Have you?
I have not. I forgot that they were supposed to be making one of those, so, yeah.
No, I have to say...
I kind of forgot about it, like, right after the whole, like, party thing at wherever it was.
No, I do have to say James Walker did send me an invitation to the showing... But I think something was going on that night. There was something going on at the radio station, and I told him I couldn't make it. But so he was nice enough to invite me to the screening, but I just couldn't make it.
Well, sure. I mean, you had him on plenty of times. I think that I'm sure that he thinks that it was helpful.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was his thing, and he's in it, and there you go.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I've always said I think there's something a little off about who is being focused in on here. Who is being told that these are the people? Now, some people will just say, they'll just take the blanket statement and they'll go, oh, it's negative. You're knocking the video and you're knocking the contest and so on. Well, first of all, I didn't knock the contest. I thought the contest was a fine thing. And I'm not knocking the video because I haven't seen it, but if these are the people in the video, I certainly don't think it's a representation of Marion, Ohio, that you would probably want to sell to people. But if you like it, you like it. People are interesting in a way. You know, if you give them a t-shirt or you give them a hat or something, and they live in that community, they're kind of like Pavlov's dog. They'll just put it on, they'll wear it, they'll be so happy. I never understood that idea. I mean, you don't have to be negative toward where you are. I try not to be negative about Marion. I mean, there are certain parts you'd like to see get better. But this idea of, it's more of a cheerleader aspect, I guess. I'm not sure if cheerleader is the best way to be, because if you are a cheerleader, what's being fixed?
Well, I assume you're cheering for something.
Yeah, but if your bit is, you know, Strongest Town and love this and love that, well, okay. But I don't know, like, you're broadcasting that. Like, when you go into the grocery store, we're supposed to go, oh, they love this place that we're sitting in right now. I don't think that's the reception that is ascertained from the public.
Well, I don't really know that there's ever been... I mean, I'm sure you could come up with one because that's how marketing works, but I don't think there's ever been a slogan that's really, captivating. I mean, like, Chicago's got, like, you know, the Windy City. Like, things like, you know, we ain't got nothing like that.
No, but aren't you surprised by the people who buy this merchandise? I mean, not a lot of it is bought, because you don't see it a lot. You don't see it everywhere.
Honestly, I mean, I feel like the people I see wearing it are people who I'd expect to see wearing it most of the time.
Kind of bandwagon jumpers. They're people who, you know, they have a vested interest. They live here. They work here. I mean, it's kind of hard to knock the places where you live and raise your family and work. I would expect you to be on board with this sort of thing. But I don't understand the shirts thing. The shirts thing is a little strange to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess buy shirts if you want to buy shirts. Why not?
Yeah. Wear what you want.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Go for it.
I just don't know what it's supposed to symbolize. I don't know what it means when you look at it.
I guess.
Like, I'm supposed to go, wow, they're really a community event. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
This is true.
Well, I probably should send you an email about this, but you guys doing anything special for Halloween?
Not that I'm aware of at this point.
That's a Friday.
It is a Friday.
The 31st. What if you handed out candy to trick-or-treaters, have them come up to the station, hand out candy, have them come up in their costumes and all of that stuff?
Well, it's certainly a possibility. We'd have to talk to the people who own the building here.
why would they care?
I mean, you could actually
take it out onto the porch.
Right. I don't know.
The front entry. That way people could just drive up, the kids could come out, and you could keep a steady flow of traffic.
Well, no, as long as they don't care. I mean, I think their biggest problem would be there's other businesses operating here, and if they're having trouble getting in and out of the parking lot, that might be an issue, but I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
The parking lot's behind the building.
Well, see, I don't know. I'll talk to them.
Well, the Industrial Channel will buy $100 worth of candy to pass out.
Oh, that sounds good.
So, just keep me informed.
I'll do that. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
Well, there we go. It could be a happy Halloween here this year.
That's a lot of candy.
We'd have to have some... Yes, it is. We'd have to have some kind of attraction, though, out there passing out the candy. You'd have to be somebody in a costume.
Why don't we just get, like... Oh, we can get, like, Ted Williams.
Well, I think you'd want somebody in a costume, though, wouldn't you?
I'm sure we could put Ted in a costume.
Maybe. Phone lines again are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I did want to touch on Monday's political city council meeting, another humdinger. You were there, so we talked a lot about this week on the air, but you were there for this one. So what was your takeaway from Monday night?
It was a long meeting.
3 hours.
I mean, the first little portion of it, I mean, it was fine. There was just discussion over whether or not we should hire this third-party company out of, like, Columbus to do some city development something or another. I guess inspections. But, I mean, there was just discussion on that one, so that one was pretty fine. They just sent it on the council for more discussion. But then, you know... After that, like as soon as that was over, it went pretty rough. Because after that was the vote of no confidence on Tommy Reese, but it was back in committee. So,
that didn't really go anywhere.
No, Schauber and Thaddeus Smith wanted to table it, but then Ralph Smith stood up and said that they changed the rules and you can't table things in committee and. So, I mean, they already took the vote, though, so, like, I guess the running thing is if you can't do it, then I guess next committee it'll just be back on. I don't know. So that ended up being
as Tommy Reese is down to under 3 months now.
Yeah, I will say that both, like I said, both Thaddeus and Schauber voted to table it. The only one who didn't was Bill Dichtel.
So then you've got the economic development position that the mayor introduced.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... I guess there's, like, some kind of sliding pay scale on that, depending on, like, I guess, benefits. Like, I suppose the way I understood is if, like, the person has a family, then they get paid less because they get more in benefits. But if they don't have a family, then they get paid more because there's less in benefits. So, like, sliding pay scale kind of thing. But, I mean, I think there's some... Seems to be some... I don't remember who it was, but I think... Somebody called in and seemed to be under the assumption that Bodine was going to get it. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I've heard nothing to support the claim.
I mean, I've heard people say it.
Yeah,
but
I don't know that. Yeah,
I don't know that it's true.
So, I mean, I don't know what to. I mean, I think they're paying an awful lot of money.
We had a little dust-up during that section of the city council meeting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was brought up that they are paying a lot of money and that the assistant backup? I think it's assistant law director is the title. But he makes less than what they were going to pay this person and a whole bunch of, I don't know, things like that. And then that ended up, you know... being a little rough. And then you had Terry Klein get up there and he, you know, talked about how what he thought about the whole thing, and then, you know, he went and sat down, and then the mayor stood up and then Thaddeus had to gavel him because he was about to start like going at Terry Klein. It was interesting.
You know what's interesting? Everybody explain that story to finds it hard to believe that the mayor of a city would behave in that way.
It's shocking. It's shocking. You know, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting it.
Now, as I've said all week, now the comment, which I'm not going to get into again.
Yes, I
which was made on the program. I can understand why that would make somebody unhappy. It was a rough comment. So I can understand why the mayor'd be unhappy about that. I'm not denying that. To bring that up in a city council meeting and to harbor that for months.
By the way, he multiple times was gaveled.
Yeah, he really wanted to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it just is a little. I don't know what you call that. I'm not sure why that happened.
Well, I mean, it was a rough comment, like you said. So I mean, you know, I don't know that was necessary, but it's understandable, I guess.
I do think, and again, nobody's went back and looked at the tape, but I think it was when Terry sat down, and the mayor started to talk.
Yes.
And then the mayor said, "This is my time."
Well, I mean, because when he got up originally, it was something like, "I don't know how Terry stands on this," because he'll get up one week and say this, and then he'll get up and then Terry said something or another, and the mayor
it was
said,
like,
"You know,
so what?" Or
yeah,
something
it's,
like
it's
that.
My turn to talk,
and that Terry touched said, off the anger there.
Yes.
So there we go. Go ahead, Colin.
You know what you call it is vindictive. He's a vindictive person. For that to be held up for so long and not have a rebuttal within a relative period of time with which the statement was made. But what I objected to when he was up there shooting his mouth off about, well, we're doing this and we're going to have this on the website, that's what really set me off because, hey, get a website that works. And then he went on his tirade.
Well, it was an interesting moment because I think a lot of people do say about the mayor that maybe we don't necessarily agree with how he's doing things as mayor, but he's a nice guy. And I think you have argued that point, that he has done things that have been out of his way to do, and he's a nice man.
Well, understand this. You know, he's the mayor. That's one hat he wears. He's a private citizen. That's another hat. And maybe there's another hat that he wears. So when he's wearing those particular hats, there's a particular way you behave. So, but the amazing thing is, I am tired of all politicians across the board that bitch about being made fun of, being told that they're not doing things properly, but yet they beg the electorate, vote for me. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then they get in there and they find out it ain't all, you know, rosy kind of thing. It's tough.
I don't think we've talked about this. Do you regret the initial comment you made weeks ago that obviously upset him so much?
What is it I exactly
said? I do not remember. I just remember it was a...
I don't remember either.
It had something to do with the social director and something.
Social director?
Or service the service director. Service director. Yeah.
I don't recall what I said. But these people have to understand, if you're in a position of public trust, even though Bodine, service director, safety director, whatever, they don't necessarily take an oath of office. They're there under the guidance of somebody who has taken the oath of office, and that's a position held in public trust. And if there are people buffooning around, they need to be made fun of, period. And I believe in sarcasm. It's a hot lead.
Well, I'm not sure if this was sarcasm. I remember it being more, it certainly wasn't literal, But it was...
it was facetious, if anything.
Well, it certainly got under the mayor's skin.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows the level of intellect of the mayor that he can't possibly process some of these things. It goes over his head, and he becomes frustrated.
Well, we'll see. We got a break coming up. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
I marry like that in your life.
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there.